It's interesting to trace through the scriptures the reasons that people say things like verse 3. Jonah is not the only one who has said, "Let me die." We've already heard about Elijah. It may actually be that Elijah lived after Jonah, and maybe Elijah was actually following Jonah's bad example. It could be that way too, which would actually be pretty unfortunate. Another bad impact of Jonah's bad example. But to think about what it is, what brings somebody to such a low point, it's really always something selfish. Somebody said, Rebecca said, "My life is weary because of the daughters of Heth. I can't take it anymore." Or Job talking about how his case was not being handled in a just way by God. And even though his wife had said, "Curse God and die," and he said, "Well, shall we not receive evil at the hand of the Lord?" Later, Job makes some remarks like, "I rue the day I was born. I wish I was never born." These kinds of things. When we say those things, what we're saying is God made a mistake. God did the wrong thing. He put me in the wrong place. He put me in the wrong lifetime. He put me in the wrong circumstances. I should just end my life right now. And it's really a very selfish kind of statement. And the Lord says in verse 4, I'd just like to link it with verse 4, I always think of it as just such a tender question. The Lord could have said, "I can't believe you're acting this way." Or he could have given some very stern reprimand. He just says, "Is it right for you to be angry? Doest thou well to be angry? Is it right to be angry about this?" There are times when it's right to be angry. Is this one of those times, Jonah? Is this one of those times where it's right to be angry? And it would be a good question often for us, for me, to ask ourselves, is this really the time to be angry? And Jonah doesn't answer because he has no answer.
One person that we are familiar in the scripture in a positive way, the Apostle Paul. You would wish that we all learn from such a man. He said, "I am between the two. To depart and to be with Christ, that is far better." You see, if Jonah was in this spirit, we would all say amen to it. But he was in a spirit that this thing has disgusted him so much that he wants to be out of the scene. But talking about he was selfish, and the Apostle Paul then said, "But to remain here, it will be needful for you." So what does he choose? He'd rather be with Christ. But he chooses what is needful. And Jonah never understood the lesson of what is needful and pleasurable to the heart of God. And here it says, the God comes in, and he gives something that is very practical so that he will get the message of what God has acted on the behalf of the city of Nineveh.
I almost wonder if the expression in, "And Jehovah said, doest thou well to be angry?" And this is following up, piggybacking on what Steve said. It's as though Jehovah is first of all saying, "Now bring all of the facts. Justify and rationalize your anger for me. I will listen to you." He puts him on the spot. And what does Jonah do? He walks out. You remember in the beginning it says that he went away from the presence of God. He's almost doing the same thing here, if you might put it that way. He's in prayer here, and God brings him to a point where he says, "Now justify your anger for me." And he walks out and finds himself in a state of things where God has to use certain elements to bring him back to his senses.
I'm reminded of another question that God asked in kindness. You're right there, Steve. He would have come in a different way. But when you consider a man like Cain, the Lord right away, the question, "If thou doest well, isn't there acceptance?" And here it's in the same way, same tender way. Now is the time for you to be angry? You know what? And the Lord never waited for an explanation. But it was him that now prepares another three things like we discussed earlier. And all these three things were prepared to really try to bring the message home to the heart of Jonah. And when we enter into it, it is a remarkable lesson that God will desire to teach each and every one of us.
If I might just follow up a little bit more on that quickly. Because as he goes out in the typical sense, a figurative sense, out of the presence of God, he goes out of the city and he sits on the east side of the city and he says, let me see if God's going to change his mind. Let me see if I have reached God. Because I have been able to tell him how angry I am, and he's gotten the message. I'm going to sit by the city side and look to see what God's going to do.
Or, on the other hand, he sat outside and he said, I told God, and God said, aren't you angry because what's right? So in Jonah's mind, what's right is the city will be destroyed. So maybe if I sit outside, I will watch and God will do what's right according to Jonah. And that is to overthrow the city. But really, if Jonah show what kind of nature you and I have, chapter 4 show also God's school and how he in his school bring a soul like Jonah one step at a time. None of us would have patience with him. Jonah, you're an old prophet. You should know better than that. You were just in the fishes for 3 days and three nights. Did you learn anything? Aren't you the one who said chapter 2? What's wrong with you? But God, in his mercy, he takes him at his own level. And apparently, Jonah wanted an object lesson. He wasn't really in a matter of doctrinal exposition of the nature of God and how God acts. Jonah was at such a low, not low level, elementary level, that God said, all right, Jonah, I'm going to show you an object lesson. He made himself a booth. I mean, is that the Feast of Tabernacles, Jonah? Is that the time to rejoice because the whole earth have received the Lord now? Is that the time to rejoice? That he was completely off in his timing and his estimation and his understanding of the ways of God. And God doesn't give up on a soul like Jonah. You still work in him. Even if he want to show him an object lesson. And that gives me the thought that there is always a hope when one goes, because God is a God of recovery, of steps. The thing is this, the rejoicing part is this, that Jonah, in the end, I believe, have learned a lesson. The problem with us sometimes, we don't.
Just to note the fact that he went to the east side of the city. I imagine when he made this booth, he protected himself from the sun, from the morning sun. Because, of course, God is going to swiftly judge this city. And he pouted there, watching the city as the sun came up, nicely shaded by the booth. But as the sun continued, the shade disappeared. And nothing happened to the city. God gave him a whole day of that. Waited till the next day. And then we read what God does. He prepares a gourd in verse 6. But imagine I've told God how I felt. And he's going to have to change his mind. And maybe I was, because I was in the city, he didn't judge it yet. So I'll remove myself from the city. But he's going to do it. He's going to do it swiftly. So I just need a booth for part of the day. And God is so patient with him and lets him experience that whole day just staring there. How odd that must have looked. If anyone went out the city and saw this man there, what are you doing? I'm sitting here waiting for God to judge this city. Why? Because that's what I want. But that's not what God wanted. And he was, as we keep saying, he was learning in the school of God.